Traveling is back in full swing as millions of people are eager to get away and relax after a tough year. Late last month, the Transportation Security Administration reported that travel is up 50% compared to last year. It's obvious that tourism is seeing a boom as the pandemic eases up. But how is this sudden uptick affecting the local people who call these vacation destinations home? As tourists, it's important to be mindful of the citizens and natural landscapes of these places. What can the tourism industry do to operate more sustainably? And how can each visitor best contribute to the local economy? While it may be nice to kick back, it's good to remember that each and every traveler is merely a temporary guest in someone else's home.
You can learn a lot from places like Hawaii. That dynamic is coming, a different quality of visitor. And I didn't say more money. I said different understanding of place, a little more of a guest in the best sense of the word, a little more careful about how they travel, how they behave. Those are good things. It gives us as local people a chance to have the option to welcome them into our world.
That's Maile Meyer, a small business owner in Hawaii. Meyer has been working with local arts organizations since she was a teenager and now owns Native Books, a business dedicated to sharing and preserving Hawaiian culture. Born and raised on Oahu, Meyer is no stranger to tourists. She says people who try to learn the culture and customs of the places they visit are more than welcome. But from experience, not everyone cares. This lack of understanding can cause a lot of harm to destinations like Hawaii that are more than just a tropical getaway.
The other guys who are coming in just in droves really need an education about how this is not Disneyland. So it's such an interesting thing as a business owner because people come in and we greet them and we offer them just to be present and pleasant in place. And many people are wonderful, and many simply aren't. They're demanding and rude, and they expect to make deals, and they want, and they interrupt. They're serious takers because they think that we're a hosting culture. We're a rooted culture. We were here thousands of years ago. So the idea that we can offer people hospitality implies choice.
Meyer says some in the travel industry view Hawaii as easy money. They ravage the land, build massive resorts, and encourage hordes of people to visit. And once they're done, the locals and wildlife are left to deal with the long-term consequences. Looking ahead, Meyer says that this type of rampant tourism is unsustainable, and limiting the number of visitors may be one possible solution.
It's not a new idea that carrying capacity isn't there anymore in our natural environment. And so rather than be negative about it, let's just focus on creating an experience that really is genuine and has the exchange between people living here and visitors. And so it's up to each of us to kind of personalize how we respond and what we can do. But visitors coming have to play their part. They're a really important piece of the puzzle of their own personal awareness and their own sense of how they can participate.
And positive change in the industry is happening. One way is through greater interactions between locals and outsiders. But this doesn't happen naturally. It takes effort from both sides. Brian Mullis agrees with this mentality. Mullis is an expert in sustainable tourism and says he sees a shift. More people are aware about their impact as a consumer and tourist.
Ultimately, one thing that has changed, and even I'd say more so as a result of the pandemic, is an increasing number of travelers, no matter what data you look at over the last 10 years, are increasingly aligning their personal values with their purchasing decisions. So in the travel space, what that means is that more travelers are looking to ensure that their travel experiences have a positive impact on the people and places they visit, and that the businesses that they're patroning are supporting local social causes and environmental causes, given, you know, the state of the world in this day and age and the need to protect more lands.
Mullis works with several organizations to encourage greater sustainability and awareness in tourism. These groups include Sustainable Travel International, which he founded in 2002. Their work focuses on environmental and socioeconomic development in the Caribbean, Samoa, and other international escapes. Mullis highlights that conservation has been a bigger part of the conversation in recent years, but the industry as a whole can do better, especially big corporations.
A lot of multinational corporations in travel and tourism, they support good causes, but they aren't necessarily causes that are aligned with their core business models. But imagine if they started to support communities and cooperatives, nonprofits, and others that through the work they're doing, they're creating positive socioeconomic and conservation outcomes.
One example from Mullis's own experience comes from his time with the Guyana Tourism Authority. From 2018 to 2020, he worked with Rewa Eco Lodge, a community-run destination. This group ensures that every member benefits from visitors, as the revenue from tourism is used to help enrich the community and fund resources like education.
They only need 100 to 200 visitors per year to visit the Eco Lodge for them to maintain their traditional lifestyles, protect the ecosystem, and preserve their cultural heritage, some of which they share with visitors and other of which they don't, which is sacred. Reduce out-migration so that young people and even the adults don't have to leave the community to improve their livelihoods or find jobs, even at the most menial level. So, and all of a sudden you can see here's a tangible example of what net positive impact travel and tourism can look like.
In addition to community-based groups, Mullis also ventured into analyzing the corporate world. Because of this sector's influence in the industry, Mullis says travel companies also have a responsibility in promoting environmental conservation. One brand, Royal Caribbean Limited, is a prime example of a corporate entity taking real action.
The onboard operations for the new ships that are being manufactured, the average footprint per passenger is less than their environmental footprint in the average American home.
Offshore, the cruise line also makes an effort to employ local businesses for passenger excursions like snorkeling, zip lining, and other land-based activities. These third-party businesses give tourists a more authentic experience during their trip and directly funnel money into the local economy. It's a symbiotic relationship, creating a positive partnership between the resident population and the company.
At least half of those excursions that any passenger would take meet the Global Sustainable Tourism Council's criteria for tour operators as applied to the shore excursions sector, so that the traveler could go with some confidence with those that are certified, knowing that those businesses are doing all that they can within their ways and means to be able to limit their negative environmental and social impacts and maximize the positive impacts.
But it's not just up to the businesses that operate in these regions. As both Meyer and Mullis said, tourists also play a role. Mullis encourages people to do some research on sustainable travel before they book a trip.
Take the next step and ask a set of questions to each individual operator of how are you maximizing the economic benefits from my visit within the communities that I'll be visiting? What are you doing to limit your negative environmental impacts? And what are some of the tangible outcomes that have been generated from that? I think asking those open-ended questions that are more quantitative than qualitative, where people have to have some background, they'll be able, if they're doing this type of work, to share their stories of impact.
Along with educating yourself on eco-friendly tourism, look into the customs and culture of the destination. Venture outside the walls of the resort and discover what's past the Americanized version of the land. Meyer says that when visitors are curious and want to learn, local people will gladly be there to help.
There are so many things that are present for you if you slow down, take your time, ask questions, say thank you, share, and be helpful. And so how you go and where you go, if it's with respect and care and attentiveness, you'll always be a welcomed guest.
In the end, it's up to each of us to do the research and understand the places we're visiting. By doing so, both Meyer and Mullis say the end experience of traveling somewhere new will be more rewarding, not just for you, but for the locals who interact with you as well. To find out more about this topic and our guests, Brian Mullis and Miley Meyer, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written by Bridget Killian. Our executive producer is Amira Zavery. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Oregon's Tillamook County Creamery Association produces dairy products you know and love. In fact, the farmer-owned co-op makes award-winning cheese and is now the fastest-growing family-size ice cream brand in the country. Its commitment to stewardship informs every decision the co-op makes, and it's getting noticed. The company was recognized by Fast Company as a World Changing Ideas Award Honorable Mention recipient. And in 2020, Tillamook achieved status as a certified B Corporation. There are plenty more good stewardship examples in their newly released Good is Something We Make Together stewardship report. Here's Paul Snyder, Executive Vice President of Stewardship at Tillamook County Creamery Association.
When COVID hit, our farmer owners stepped up with a $4 million relief fund to help support employees, nonprofits, and local businesses in the communities where we operate. And we donated 10% of September profits to the Alpha Farmer Initiative to protect at-risk farmland and provide grants to up-and-coming farmers all over the country. We've also reduced water use, made advances in cow care, and joined the global fight against food waste.
The Tillamook County Creamery Association is owned by around 80 Oregon farming families and has been around for 112 years. Find out how they're a force for good in the world at tillamook.com/stewardship.
Cardiovascular or CV disease is the number one killer of adults in the U.S., and millions of people trying to reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke may unknowingly be taking medications that are not proven nor FDA approved to reduce cardiovascular risk. Let's hear from cardiologist Dr. John Osborne.
Many people are unaware that after a failed outcome study, the FDA revoked the approval of fenofibrates when added to statins, as the risk outweighed the benefits to heart health. It's important to remember that statins, along with diet and exercise, can lower cardiovascular risk by about 25 to 35%. But persistent cardiovascular risk, which can lead to a life-threatening event, may remain. I would tell anyone still being prescribed fenofibrates, such as Tricor and Trilipix, with a statin, to talk to their doctor about FDA-approved therapies for cardiovascular risk reduction.
To learn more and get clear on the facts, visit itscleartomenow.com. Again, that's itscleartomenow.com.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Viewpoints is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows. And find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints. Coming up next week.
When you start looking at these numbers, how does anybody afford this?
The stressful cost of health care in this country. Then.
This is a great time, especially coming out of COVID, to just really rethink it.
Why do we still spring forward and fall back each year when most people see it as a nuisance? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.